I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled against a constitutional challenge to the Obama administration's health care overhaul led by Florida. The decision is important in Florida, where 1 in 5 residents is uninsured, the third highest rate in the nation. It also impacts state leaders like Governor Rick Scott and Attorney General Pam Bondi, who spearheaded opposition to the law, and it's a key issue in congressional races like the Florida Senate race between incumbent Bill Nelson and Congressman Connie Mack. Here to help sort it all out are 90.7's political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry. It's our monthly state politics roundup that's ahead on Intersection. I'm joined by 90.7 political commentators, Democrat Dick Batchelor, former Democratic State House Representative, founder of the Dick Batchelor Management Group. Good to have you in, sir.
Good to be back. Thank you.
And Lou Fry, former Republican Congressman, attorney now with Lowndes, Drostek, Doster, Kanner, and Reed. Thanks for coming in, Lou.
Privilege as usual.
So the U.S. Supreme Court ruled last week that the federal government can require most Americans to buy their health insurance. And this decision for Florida has big consequences. We have the nation's third highest uninsured rate. So how do you think this decision is going to end up playing out in the state, Lou Fry, where the constitutional challenge originated with Bill McCollum, the former attorney general?
Well, let's first put it into context. This is the incredible decision written by a brilliant justice who I think did one of the major things is keep the Supreme Court as an independent organization, not one that's in the hip pocket of the Tea Party or the right wing or whatever. He has established the independence of that, and I think that's important for our country. So that's good. Secondly, somehow or other, and I don't know, he didn't start out that way, but most people in one way or other are happy with it. You talk to the Democrats and they're happy they're going to have it. They don't like it being a tax, but they're, you know, they've got what they want. On the other hand, the Republicans are happy. The Republicans are very happy because they claim it is a tax and it's a big issue. And it is going to be an issue that has legs all the way up to Election Day. And it's probably at the moment the best issue that the Republicans have. So the only people that are confused are the public. Other than that, everybody's really happy. Dick, and you know, when you take what happened and you try and bring it down to Florida, I think for Florida, it's presented a lot of problems and challenges that as it had with many states. And frankly, I don't know how you enforce this mandate. If Dick doesn't want to do something, what do we do? Do we hire a bunch of people and arrest them? Or do we build jails? I mean, what do you do? It's a mandate that can't be enforced. Mm. And remember, the funding has to start in the House of Representatives for any new money.
So, Lou Fry, you're saying that there's going to be challenges when you actually get to the nuts and bolts of implementing it. Dick Batchelor, what do you think it means for the state, and what do you think about the use of that word tax in an election season?
Well, you know, if you look at the what the Congress put in as a penalty, but of course the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court says it's
so
a tax.
Good. Isn't he good?
says it's a tax, and I guess it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. But it's going to be a major issue. But here's on the Republican side the challenge they've got, particularly Mitt Romney. One, this is patterned after RomneyCare in Massachusetts, which had a penalty that if you didn't pay it. So Mr. Romney's got a tough time to tease himself apart from that one. Secondly, the real challenge is, if you do away, rescind Obamacare, what do you do about the 40 million people who are now uninsured and can't get insurance? Now, let me bring it to the state level. In Orange County, just as a better example, you've got about 20% of the people who are uninsured. 20% of the people in Orange County are uninsured. Now, listen to this. 80% of them have jobs. They're not poor enough to get Medicaid, but they can't afford health care. Something's got to be done about that. Health care reform will not go away no matter who wins the White House. It's here to stay. On the state level, I'm very disappointed in the governor. Governor Scott said he's not going to comply with the requirement on Medicaid. It's not a requirement anymore. You cannot require that the state be penalized in Medicaid dollars if they don't participate. It's voluntary pursuant to the Supreme Court decision, number one. Number two, he doesn't
explain that a second. People won't.
Well, the bottom line is that there was an issue in the legislation where the states could be denied their Medicaid monies and would not get the 60-40 match if they didn't participate. That was set aside by the Supreme Court. So very important. So there's no penalty associated with it. But our governor's already come out of the box quickly and said he won't participate in the Medicaid match program and saves about $1.9 billion. Now, here's the problem. What are you going to do about the people who need Medicaid, the newly unemployed in this state who need Medicaid, number one? Number two, he said he will not participate in the exchange program. Well, even Senator Mitch McConnell yesterday said the interstate exchange program is competition. Why not do it? So I'm very disappointed in our governor already very quickly to say he won't participate in the federal mandates.
Lou Frey, what do you think about that in terms of Governor
Scott's
position?
Points in it. And of course, the governor, one of the questions you're asking is, can the governor carry Connie Mack in the state? Will he be a plus? Because that's what this is all coming down
right.
to. This makes every congressional election and every Senate election incredibly important. And the problem is, if you have under 40% popularity as a candidate, you don't want to wrap yourself around him. So the governor is drawing fire away from Mack and giving Mack a little more breathing room. And in that sense, politically, I think he's done a good job. But look, this is, as Dick pointed out, there are so many things in here. There's 7 to 9 additional taxes we're just finding out about. Nobody really knows what to do. 60% of the people are against the bill in the country, allegedly. But I bet you 60% don't really understand what the bill is. And it's a major piece of legislation. One of the real problems that I feel, and of course this is a, people aren't going to probably agree, but I think there are 3 co-equal branches of government. I think the Supreme Court overstepped itself in this one, and I think they wrote the legislation. They actually wrote a new bill, and they got around the fact that the legislation and something like it should have started in the House. Philosophically, I don't like that. I don't care how it turned out. I don't like that happening.
To Dick's point, do you think, though, the governor runs the risk of looking like he's denying health care to some of the state's neediest residents?
Sure.
And politically, that takes him out of the running for the next election go-round?
Well, I don't know what's going to take him out of the running. I think that he's built a not-too-solid base, and you have 3 people who are now on the attorney general and the who sitting. I'm trying to be nicer person. Would be interested in running if the governor didn't.
And what happens then to someone like Pam Bondi, and you mentioned those other cabinet leaders who took positions kind of spearheading this legal fight against the law.
But why should they be hurt?
Yeah, I don't think Pam Bondi's
hurt.
I don't think
to their own base they play well.
And they got some exposure right up. So I don't think it hurts them. In fact, I think Pam's still trying to wrap herself in it. But here's what frustrates me about the governor, and this is where I can be partisan, very partisan. What I've already said is number one. Number two, the governor keeps saying, look, we've got these 3 stools of priority, what we're going to do, you know, create jobs, make it tax friendly, get rid of regulation. That's all very fine and at the 50,000 foot level. But the fact is, you know, you got to deal with health care. He goes on to say that education is important in this state. Well, we've talked about this before.
Cut $2 billion, put $1 billion back.
Yeah, they cut $2 billion, put $1 billion back. So the hypocrisy involved in it to me. But to jump out of the box real fast and say we're not going to, and I'm sure this is somebody's talking point someplace for the Republican governors to do this. But I agree with Lou. I mean, I don't see him having any lift on any other of the campaigns.
What do you think, though, in terms of someone like Bill Nelson? Does this bring him closer to aligning himself with President Obama for the U.S. Senate race?
Well, of course it does, because he's out there supporting. He's using the fact that it was upheld by the court to raise money. And, of course, Connie Mack, you guys haven't talked about the other 2 people in that race, but Connie Mack's out there using it to raise money, you know, and put there was an opposition to it. I think what's going to happen, though, is my final point. I think as more people get farther away from the court decision, the polls shifted over the weekend. Now that the court has ruled, it's like 46% in favor, 46% in opposition to it. As you get further away from the court decision, the real problem is going to happen is when the Republicans have to say, okay, now what will you do now? And that's where I think the challenge comes.
Let's go back to how the House and Senate works. In certain appropriation matters, the Senate doesn't need 60 votes to pass something. It only needs 51 votes to pass something. So what that says is the Senate races are incredibly crucial. Right. And Bill Nelson's race could be the one that tips the Senate one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a lead on Connie Mack. Connie's raised a lot of money, and there's a long way to go in the campaign. The problem that Bill is going to have is the Obamacare. He's going to have to be able to handle that one. His vote was a key vote in it, not the only one, but was a key vote in it. And it's going to make a difficult campaign even more difficult.
This is because you're saying that Nelson needs to appear more conservative or moderate to a larger base.
I'm saying that the race is won, and Dick knows very well, with the middle. And the Republicans are weak in women and in independent voters. And if Nelson can hold those together, he'll win. If he can't hold them together and it falls apart, then you'll have Mack winning.
His campaign needs to be shifting to saving Medicare. You know, he has to shift from the Obamacare to saving Medicare. That's what the demographics are in this state, people over 65. So I'm sure there are people a lot smarter than these wonks.
My wife's favorite saying, never retreat. Attack in a different direction. You know?
I'm going to watch out at the next dinner
party. I'm going to be nice with his wife.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned for senior voters, Dick Bathrow, but what do you think for Central Florida young voters? This is an important issue for young people, too.
Keep in mind the millennials.
Millennial generation.
Aren't voting. They aren't registered. They're not voting. In fact, I think it's going to be a worse turnout than it was, you know, 3.5 years ago, which does not bode well for the president because the lack of enthusiasm there. But on the health care, if you were talking specifically health care, they like it because with the court upholding this law.
Stay on their parents' health insurance.
With their parents.
To 26 years old.
Which, by the way, takes a lot of pressure off the Republicans.
Yeah, can. But I think the young people just don't have the level of excitement they had 3.5 years ago, which, as I said, does not bode well for President Obama. And he's going to have to find another way. Now, having said that, and Lou will probably agree with this, you get to that last 3 weeks of the campaign, you know, that's when you want to pick. That's when everything comes out. And that's when the president's going to have to, like, run his best shot, as is Mitt Romney. My fear is, and I keep saying this, though, the super PACs are going to spend close to $1 billion in this race without disclosing
about
$1 billion. So I have this theory, and I think it's you can't debate it, I don't believe, because my theory is incrementally, the more money that super PACs put in the race, diminutively, you lose influence. So I think a lot of people are saying, we don't own this process anymore. They bought it. They paid for it. They're paying for it. So I think the voter turnout is a very big challenge.
I think it's the key to the election, truly. Yeah. Who turns out and how much? You know the African-American vote is going to go for Obama. Not an issue. The issue is what percentage of that vote will turn out. And it's same with the women and the independents.
And it's the Hispanic vote.
Nobody, even with the problems of it, the enthusiasm is still not reached anywhere near the fever pitch it was in 08 when everybody was excited on all sides. The thing just isn't there.
You know, Dick Bantrill, you also mentioned that there's two other names in that U.S. Senate race.
I've forgotten them.
You're referring to Dave Weldon and Mike McAllister.
Yes.
Should we even be talking about those names
at this
point?
Well,
we
just did.
Well, we did, but
it's officially enough because they don't have a shot.
Connie Mack, he's got this pretty much sewn up.
Yeah, he does. We mentioned others. They got their time they deserve because they don't have a shot. But we mentioned them anyway.
Lou Fry, anything to add on that?
No, it's the way it is. That's the business. If you're running a statewide campaign and you got 10% of the vote, you're not going to get a lot of time and attention. I would assume it's a fairly reasonable position on the top on the part of the media to look at that. Nobody, you're not going to sell many records if
it's like the old
story or peelers or whatever they're selling these days.
This is not relevant, but it's like the old governor Edward Edwards of Louisiana, who was so popular. He said, "I'll never be defeated unless I'm found in bed with a dead woman or a loud boy." But he was indicted. So
and he did go to jail.
I told you it was irrelevant, but just historical perspective.
That is coming from Democrat Dick Batchelor, and we're also joined by Republican Lou Fry.
What did he say? I didn't hear that last one.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. It's our monthly political roundup.
Oh,
I'm Mark Simpson. Of course, we're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court healthcare decision. What do you think about how it's going to play out in Florida? Tell us on Facebook or Twitter. Find us on Twitter at WMFE Orlando. You can shoot us an email, too, to intersection@WMFE.org. Guys, we're a month or so away from these August primaries in Florida. And I wonder, what do you think are the hot races? I mean, are we still calling the U.S.
Well,
Senate
in
a
August,
hot race?
All the races are hot in Florida.
Well, dear, I walked right into that one.
Beginning to look better. I'm beginning to sound
hard
better.
Hard to do, though.
I was the races here, of course, in your – I mean, the U.S. Senate race we've already talked about, obviously, is a very – and I agree with – it's a pivotal race and could be one of the votes that leads Republicans to control the Senate. If that were to happen, hopefully that doesn't happen. And, of course, the congressional race. I still think one of the most watched races in the country has got to be
the Micah.
Micah and Adams. I mean, you got
Micah
two incumbent Republicans running against each other, which is really maybe not unprecedented, but highly unusual that she would stay in that race because we actually pontificated that maybe she would get into the race. She did not. So that's a very closely watched race. But here's the thing. I want to spend a moment on this because it's important. John Maka has been on the airwaves almost every night. He got his transportation bill passed. Finally, it's a two-year extension, I believe, but
and
it's passed.
And he's the chair of the Transportation Committee in the House.
He's chair of the Transportation Committee, obviously very influential. Secondly, he's on the committee that took up the issue of whether or not to vote an impeachment in the House of the Eric Holder, the Attorney General
who was in town just a week or so ago.
John Maka was on all over the ears about that. So he's all over the air all the time. His free, or what we call earned media, it's really overshadowing Sandy. So to that point, she's got to raise a lot of money to overshadow that. She can't because she's raising all the money.
She can't raise all that money. She's got to get her turnout. She's got to win with a low voter turnout to get her people out, and John not to get his people out. That's a pretty simple race.
At this point, any possibility, you think, of Sandy Adams dropping out and calling it quits, Lou Fry?
No, I don't think so.
She's a tough lady. She won't drop out.
She's jumped out of the thing without a parachute, and I think she's, you know, I like them both. They're good people. I think that if John ever didn't run again, that Sandy would run for office if he doesn't make it this time.
I'm sure it might have been a backpack. We'll see.
But two Republicans that have seats they could win running against each other, or the height is just—it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, one race that is kind of interesting is not a congressional race, but Gary Siplin's wife, Victoria Siplin, running to replace her husband in the Florida Senate. Victoria Siplin set to square off against Democratic Representative Geraldine Thompson. What do you think about this race, Lou Fry?
I asked Dick.
Okay.
I'll pontificate in a lot of things, but that one I is
phone a friend, Dick Batchelor. What do
phone
you
a friend.
Yeah, phone
yeah.
a friend. Dick, help.
I have a lifeline. Yeah. I would, because I would admit I'm a fan of Geraldine Thompson. She's, as you pointed out in the introduction, she's currently a member of the state legislature. She's been a very good member. It's hard to be that supportive in when you're in the minority, and she is a Democrat in the House, but she's very good. She's very thoughtful. She came out of Valencia Community College. Geraldine's, I think, it's a strong race. Now, Gary Siplin, his wife, of course, has the name recognition by virtue of her husband had been in the state Senate, and he's all over the air on stuff. She's raising some money, but I would hope Geraldine Thompson would have a shot at that.
Is the party behind Geraldine?
The party won't get involved in the primary, but, you know, so the answer is the party won't get involved in there.
However.
But there are some people Senator Siplin has rubbed the wrong way, in his fundraising, and a unique fundraising challenge. But anyway, I think Geraldine, if I was going to call it, I'd call for Geraldine.
Well, any other races, primary races around the state you guys are looking on with a keen eye?
Well, I haven't watched the Buchanan race, but it's going to be
this is Vern Buchanan. That's a name. That's a name from way back now.
Way back now in the Sarasota area. He's got a lot of trouble, a lot of bad press regarding the contributions that he raised last time. Then he raised it through his car dealerships and all. His former partner
hasn't slowed him down much.
But he seems to be the favorite still because he's certainly got the money and the incumbency. 95% of the incumbents win.
I want to ask you guys also about Marco Rubio. Still a lot of talk about Senator Rubio as a number one pick for running mate for Mitt Romney. New poll, in fact, shows Rubio favorite choice among voters. This is a IBAPE Intelligencia survey found that Rubio favored by all voters, even more so by Republican voters. So, Lou Fry, you just were talking to Senator Rubio.
I was with him personally. We were talking about the race, so forth and so on.
Well,
and
what does Marco say? Is he up for the VP slot?
He's saying the right thing, that he doesn't want it, that he's very happy in the Senate, you know, and he sees a future
don't make me take it.
Down the line and so forth. And if the president elect, hopefully, if Romney comes to him and says, we need you, we can't win without you, he's going to say yes. If Lyndon Johnson said yes to John Kennedy, believe me, anything can happen, because those two, Johnson was the most powerful person in the country at that time, and he didn't like Kennedy, and Kennedy wasn't, but because of the Speaker of the House, Sam Rayburn, he went along with it, and that's the only time, I think, in Dick's political lifetime and mine, that the vice president really made a difference.
Right. John Kennedy didn't like Lyndon Baines Johnson, but Lyndon Baines Johnson hated Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah, so the answer is he's doing it right. He's working hard, and what's going to happen is going to happen. I assume they'll drag this thing out right to before the before the convention.
Well, and I'm assuming, too, that Marco Rubio and Mitt Romney get along better.
I think they get along a lot better.
That isn't hard.
I think Rubio's. I think he's not seasoned enough. I think he's too young. I mean, he's obviously very smart, very articulate. Speaker of the House.
A lot of people say compare him to Obama.
Well, he's got a lot of things going for him. But you always have to ask a question: are you ready to be president? And when you ask that question, I think it doesn't apply to him. I think there are other Palenty and some other people out there, two-term governors, that are a lot more savvy than him at this point in time. Having said that, he's got an incredible career in front of him.
And clarify for us again, Lou Frey, if Rubio accepts that VP nomination, he still maintains his Senate seat.
Yeah.
So no worry about a special
election
or anything like that.
No, and it's being associated with a failing campaign is one of the risks. But on the other hand, if you're not the prime guy, you can say, I did my best, he's a great guy, but I'll next time, if I try and do it on my own, I'll do it my way. And Sinatra will come dancing
around
the airwaves. I've done it my way.
All right, we're going to sing about a federal judge who said no to an Obama administration request to halt purging people from the state's voter rolls who are believed to be non-citizens. This issue being dragged out here for many, many weeks and months, but the state halted the effort anyway until better information could be obtained on who actually are citizens. So where does this controversy go from here, Lou Frey? And we're getting really close to an election.
Yeah, well, that's what terrifies me, that we'll get into the election, we'll be close, and the side that loses is going to file a lawsuit to stop the election process till all these votes are counted the correct way, whatever that is going to be. And Florida will keep the country in suspense probably till Christmas.
Be hanging chads, dangling chads.
Yeah,
I agree with Lou on this, and I mentioned this before. If it's a close race, I hope the race of Florida is not that close, because
it's
a close race. This will be litigated ad infinitum, and it harks back to 2000 when the Supreme Court had to decide on the race between
5-4 decision.
Why do you think the governor is pursuing this so doggedly?
Well, on one hand, you could take him at face value to say, and we all can say this, we don't think anyone who's ineligible should vote. We all agree to that. Now, if you purge voter lists, are you more likely to purge people who would traditionally vote Democrat than Republican? The answer is yes. So there's some politics involved in it, I'm sure. And in fact, they have identified people who were actually legitimate. And
there are going to be mistakes
vote.
In the process.
But as you alluded to, the federal court now basically says to Homeland Security, go ahead and provide the files to the state. So they need to work it out. But
dead people shouldn't vote here in Florida.
Only in Chicago and Texas.
Yeah, and that's
you
not
would
our...
You'd be killing headlines for us.
Yeah.
No pun intended there.
But I think if it's a close race, though, it'd be in litigation. Believe me. Both campaigns and every state are now training lawyers to do voter supervision, and they'll
got the strike teams all ready to go.
Absolutely ready to go. So if it's a close race, this will be litigated.
And, unfortunately.
And you think it's going to come down to the wire, or do you think there's going to be any kind of resolution before this August primary?
No. Before the August primary?
No.
No, I don't think before the August primary.
No, don't think so.
You know, Lou Frey, you mentioned just a moment ago waiting until the Republican National Convention in Tampa to reveal who the running mate is going
right
to be.
Right ahead of time, yeah.
Right ahead of it. I know you'll love this. Ron Paul planning to hold a free rally for supporters at the University of South Florida the day before the RNC takes place in Tampa, and other pro-Paul rallies being planned around Florida. He's no longer actively campaigning, but he's still there.
Yeah, he deserves it. He's picked up 10% of the vote across the country in this. He's a decent guy. He's worked hard. Why shouldn't he have his chance? He's got some good ideas. He's got some that aren't quite so good. But I think he deserves respect for what he's done. He's been out there, for a couple years working for what he believes in? So, fine. Give him a shot at daylight.
Does it sap away any of GOP votes that Romney would be courting?
They're both courting the same votes. So I don't think it'll hurt Romney. If it did hurt Romney, we'd put him on at midnight.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen, too. He'll have some play, but hopefully he'll be background music. He'll be elevator music by the time the Republican gets through with him, because They will. They'll put him on it sometime.
No, I think they're going to give him a – I think really he's a decent guy, and I think they're going to give him a spot, Dick. Maybe not prime time, but maybe subprime time.
I'm thinking cable, 2 a.m.
Let me ask you also briefly about immigration. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled to let stand an Arizona law requiring enforcement officers to check the immigration status of someone they have stopped or detained if they have reasonable suspicion that the person is in the country illegally. Do you think that – decision could make way for a similar immigration law in Florida, Lou Fry?
Well, sure.
Are we headed down that same path?
I don't think we're going to mess up anything more than we've messed up at this point. And I think what we're trying to do is get through this year and get to next year. But that'll probably come back up next year in the legislative session.
You think, Dick Batchelor, Tallahassee, March?
Well, keep in mind, the Supreme Court, there were four provisions. They upheld one. They struck three other provisions, number one. Number two, somebody in the legislature will file a bill next time to hit immigration. But I get back to the governor and his perpetual hypocrisy again. When he ran for office, he said, you know, it's crazy.
Immigration was
a key. I'm not going to bring Obama.
He verifies mandatory. We're going to do it. And now he talked to the Citrus Council and says, actually, it's a bad idea. We're not going to do e-verify. So he's backing off. It's going to be a hard issue. Let me get this. It depends on how the Hispanics turn out and vote in the next election as to whether or not the Florida legislature will take it up.
That was a
mouthful. It depends on the political influence of the Hispanic population.
It's an issue people would like to see go away.
Well, and also some of the backstory is that Governor Scott got big contributions from big immigration.
U.S. Sugar.
So that was pretty sweet for him.
It certainly was.
Yeah, it was. But that wasn't.
Lou Fry, let me get a quick response from you. Locally, Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer, Orange County Mayor Teresa Jacobs the other week.
They did just what we said they were going to do.
Wait, I didn't finish saying what it was. Citrus Bowl
and
Performing
Casadega.
Arts Center. They've got a new deal on this. Are you worried, though, about the financial manipulations going on there?
I worry more about the country than Citrus Bowl at the moment. But they did exactly what Dick and I said they're going to do. They talked. They had their people go out there. They met behind the scenes, and they came up with an idea that I hope could work because both are important for our community and for the economic growth of it. So God bless both of them and, you know, keep working together.
All right. Lou Fry, I know you've got to run, so I'll let you off the hook, and I'm going to wrap up with Dick Batchelor. Dick Batchelor, tell me, what do you think, though, about Buddy Dyer, Teresa Jacobs coming together on this deal? Is this a new Orange County, City of Orlando, we all get along and shake hands? Or are there going to be more dividing issues further down the line, as we've seen with Mayor Jacobs?
Right. I think this affords both of them an opportunity to say, okay, you know, I've flexed my muscles politically, both mayors, and they were able to find resolution on something that was highly contentious. And so I think this is kind of the point of demarcation. Hopefully going further, they will find a lot of things to work together on.
So you think it could be a new partnership
between
the two of them?
I think so. Keep in mind that Crotty and Dyer, one Republican, one Democrat, worked very closely together.
They're
very close together. And I think that's what the community wants. I think what both mayors want. But I think this signature gives them a chance to kind of hit a reset button, if I might use that term. So I think it's a good thing.
That's Democrat Dick Batchelor, former State House Representative, founder and president of the Dick Batchelor Management Group. Dick, it's great to have you in.
Thank you.
Thanks for finishing up. And Lou Fry had to leave a little bit early. Of course, he's former Republican congressman and attorney at Lounge Drostick, Doster, Canner, and Reed. I would say, Lou, it's nice to see you. And I know he's nodding his head. The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at the Florida Talks blog. You can visit WMFE.org/intersection to find out more. There you can always sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Amy Green is assistant producer. I'm Mark Simpson, and thanks for listening.